Welcome to the Whole Indie Show, your home for your weekly slice of indie goodness.
So it's natural that I ask myself, is this a risk I'm willing to take? And the answer, absolutely.
If you know something about me, you know that I am trying to change the wave of the future.
Jesus was a change with these invaders.
Innocence, once lost, can never be regained. Darkness, once gazed upon, can never be lost. All things truly wicked start from innocence.
Because I want to see you, see me, smash up. Come and play.
What I want is Bryan Danielson's head on a stick.
This is my challenge to everybody on the independent scene, and that's to thrive. Thrive to be the best in the world.
With your host, Ashley Richardson.
I knew we'd tear the fucking roof off.
And welcome, everybody, to, I guess we can say that this is right in the middle of female fight season. Of the Whole Indie Show, mainly because I've got a show to review, give my thoughts on, along with the big thing this weekend, which is the 10th anniversary of Shimmer. And of course, we just had the crazy Iron Woman, Iron Man match, whatever you want to call it, in NXT, with Sarah Del Rey once again, rightfully taking the plaudits. Yeah, it's been a pretty packed week, really, for indie wrestling. So much so that it even went mainstream with the WWE, because as I integrate seamlessly into the news, during the press conference call that happened with hyping up NXT TakeOver from this past week, Triple H was asked about the Evolve WWN live rumours and everything. And courtesy of PW Insider, we've got a transcript of what Triple H said. So it goes, quote, "As far as Evolve and Gabe Sapolsky as kind of a feeder system, yeah, I look at that as a feeder system. I love what Gabe does and love what Evolve does. I think they're one of the sounder promotions as how they handle their talent, as far as how they tell their stories, and as far as how they handle in-ring product. I do see them as a feeder system. I support them. I supported their shows. A lot of our talent has come through there over the years, and they've learnt a lot from there. Everyone speaks highly of them, speaks highly of Gabe in that process, and that's important to me as well. It's the quality of the people. Yeah, do I support them? Do I see them as a feeder for us? If I had somebody that I didn't have room here for at the Performance Center, or I wanted to give them some further training out there before I had a space for them here, would I send them to Gabe? Absolutely. I think they're a very important part of the business, and I know it's a struggle out there to keep things rolling, to keep things kind of alive if you're a small promotion. And some of the other, if this makes sense, bigger small promotions are making that more difficult sometimes for the smaller promotion. So, you know, I support them in any way I can. If I can help them out, I love to, and, you know, promote their events. This, you know, inserting my own opinion here, this may explain why the WWE house show in Cleveland a couple of weekends back, they actually gave the mic to John Thorne, the owner and booker for AIW, and let him promote the AIW show that took place a couple of weekends back. That would have been unheard of during the sort of Vince era, but now that Triple H is doing a lot more as COO, it's sort of really being beneficial to the indies, because you never know, some of the people that went to that WWE Cleveland show may never have heard of AIW, which is a shame, because they've had some great matches over the years. You know, we've talked about them on the show for quite a while down over the last couple of years while we've been on. And And the more people that can get to see it, you know, if it's the same style of wrestling, I'm all for it, definitely. Triple H finished by saying, quote, "I think having that healthy, independent undercurrent to the business is vitally important, and I don't want to see that go away." Now, there were some retort responses from both Gabe and Sal Hamoui, who is the owner of WWN Live. Sal said, quote, "The WWN family is something we've been building for years and is very flattering to get this kind of recognition. We're proud to have had talents like Rollins, Bryan, Ambrose, Neville, Kalisto and Harper, among others, on the roster. We look forward to seeing how even more former WWN talents progress in NXT. Having an industry leader like Triple H say these things about the show helps us push us forward as we get ready for our next high pay-per-views on October 18th and 19th. And then thank you at the end. The problem is with the thank you, it does seem a little bit sort of predetermined statement. But you know it isn't, because it probably is coming from the heart. You know, Gabe seconds Sal's opinions, really, saying, quote, "Everyone in the family wants to thank Triple H for his comments. We're humbled and appreciative. The support is unprecedented. We're proud to be part of the independent undercurrent, and we enthusiastically continue to promote and present today's new stars, which continues with the Evolve shows next weekend, which are both going to be on iPay-per-view. These shows are especially interesting after Triple H's comments because we feature several new and rising talents to go along with our regular standout stars. It's obvious that the progressive NXT brand is offering more opportunities and exposure to indie wrestlers than any other time in history. Who will make the most of the opportunities? Who is next? We might very well find out the next shows." So they're basically spinning it into buy our stuff, which, you know, is only fair. It's a shame that they're doing it, because it's like, you've got enough of a grub anyway, you don't need to harp on about show, but then again you do, because then it's obviously giving you the chance to promote them. But yeah, I think everybody's just bringing up WWN Live and Evolve because that's the name that's been brought up, but I've got a feeling they probably do have some sort of arrangements with quite a few of the big promotions. I doubt Ring of Honor, because obviously, because of the competition situation, it's not likely to be that. But I'd say promotions like AIW. It'd be interesting to see what happens with AAW, because obviously they've got a show this weekend along with Shimmer. And of course, Monday Night Raw is in Chicago this Monday. So there's going to be a lot of people and around the area, so I wouldn't be surprised if we did see some tryouts for the women, because I'm pretty sure some will stay over for an extra day and get analysed by the people in the know. That's the best way I can describe it. Clearly we know there's some sort of thing with PWG, considering we've had Rollins and Del Rey and Regal there in the past. There's clearly some sort of deal, and it's great to see, you know, some of these talents that you thought would never get the chance, now because they want to make NXT as broad a roster as they can, it looks more likely that they're getting the chance. And that's good, because there's some wrestlers, you know, and I will keep saying this until it happens, but there's some wrestlers like even Paige, which I think are just waiting for the call, because I think he's the way he's grown over the course of this show, over its 2-3 year span, it's quite amazing. He's gone from somebody who is still, you know, having good matches lower down the card, to having really great matches with some of the big names on the scene, like Kingston, like Gargano. like Alexander. You know, all the matches he's had recently have really been top-notch ones. And, you know, if it means that with the situation that they've got now, if they are bringing in more independent indies, if you can call it that, as in they're not signed to an NXT contract, so give key example, your Blue Pants, your Tommaso Ciampas, for now at least your Johnny Gargano's, but we'll have to see what happens in terms of the Evolve show next week. But, you know, it's brilliant to see. I think I'll leave it there because there'll probably be more to talk about next week. A little bit more from PW Insider. This time regarding Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground will begin their taping for Season 2 on the 14th of November. Now, they usually tape two times a month, and they definitely aren't going to be taping Thanksgiving weekend. So it's more than likely that they will be taping the weekend of the 14th and the weekend of the 21st. So assuming that they stick with two episodes a night like they did with Season 1, there's going to be 8 weeks of television taped. Then possibly there's going to be another eight taped in December after Thanksgiving. And all this will be before the first episode airs. Because I think they haven't said when in January, but it will be coming at some point in January. Apparently there were some concerns about spoilers or the long distance between when the shows were taped and when they'd air hurting things. But with the aspect of them taping in November and then taping in January, it's somewhat going to be easier. But the fact of the matter is, for those shows that they did tape quite a long way in advance, you sort of had to really hunt for the spoilers, like, in huge, great detail. They weren't plastered everywhere, posted as spoilers. You know, it wasn't like a TNA, even though, that being said, I never saw any notes for spoilers for what aired this past week with the weird setup they've got with now women being the opportunity to be world champ, you know, world champion of the actual company. You know, the belt that Hardy had and then dropped because, you know, he isn't in South Carolina or something. Whatever that rubbish is. Either way. Yeah, so keep an eye out on the Lucha Underground social media stuff. They'll certainly probably tell you when you can buy tickets and everything for that. A couple of bits of Shikara news. Shikaratopia is now available on your Roku box, along with like WWN Live. They got a channel on there. And this Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, if you are a subscriber to Shikaratopia, which is $7.99 a month, I believe, they will be streaming in full the first night of King of Trios 2015. So if you don't want to spend the if you don't want to spend the full amount on actually keeping the thing and just want to watch the show, you might want to sign up for that. Keep in mind it's a free 7-day trial, I believe it is. And then it's monthly after that. And I don't know what the schedule is with night 2 and night 3. But if you just want to see night 1 and get a taste of what Shikara's like, it wouldn't hurt to sign up for the free trial. And then unsubscribe from the trial once it's done. Or if you do like what you see, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds of hours of stuff already on the archives that people can, that you can access, as I previously said, for only I think it's $7.99 a month. I'm getting confused because $7.99 is also what's coming up now, because not to be left out, Beyond Wrestling has now debuted their own on-demand stuff. Except the little twist here, actually, is that it's on YouTube. Because I have heard of there being, like, subscriber sort of channels on YouTube. Well, this Beyond On Demand thing is. You can find it at youtube.com/beyonddemand, which is spelt BEYONDEEMAND. Basically, take the word beyond and demand and just merge the D's together and you'll get what you need to search for. So it's $9.99 a month in dollars, £7.99 in UK money. I'm not sure your regional equivalent. You'll have to go onto the channel and it will tell you the local price for your region. Though it is a 14-day free trial for you to sample what they've got. They've got pretty much not every show. They've got everything, I think, since like American Rana 13, so about 2 years worth of stuff. I don't think they've got the latest shows just yet. Oh, no, they have just added, I believe, the greatest rivals round robin thing and Powder Keg, I think. But certainly the highlight, and there are selected clips available as a teaser for you to sign up. There is a Biff Busick career retrospective with Biff having a one-on-one conversation with the man in charge, Drew Cordero, really talking about, you know, his time training with Lance Storm, and then his career both in Beyond and out of. I know PWG is brought up, and you know, the CZW stuff and wrestling, you know, some awesome people and everything. It's great to see. So check it out if you can. As I say, it's a 14-day free trial before your $10 or £8 per month subscription gets taken. And then finally, I guess this is somewhat of not a surprise, but also it's sort of sad to see. It looks as if FWE may be out of business, because they were scheduled to be, they announced it like months and months ago that they were going to be having a show on October 10th entitled Back to Brooklyn. The fact of the matter is, the social media stuff for the promotion hasn't been updated in 2, possibly 3 months. The owner has basically said that they're not maintaining it. And the fact of the matter is, with so many big events that are already happening this weekend, this Saturday, the likelihood of really getting any talent available is slim to none. So I've got a feeling that, you know, just because of the situation that it is, certainly there won't be any more FWE in 2015, I'd say. And, you know, I fear to say that you won't be seeing any more from it, period. You never know. This sort of happened to them before a few years back, and they did come back for quite a bit, but we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, be a shame to see that promotion go, because admittedly, you know, it was all, you know, quite a few times it was mainly about bringing in big name talent rather than, you know, homegrown talent developing through the company. I mean, case in point, the one that gained the internet notoriety was Stone Cold ET. And then when actual wrestling fans properly saw it, they somewhat rightfully crapped on it, because as a sort of viral thing on the internet, it works. As a thing they want to witness in person, not so much. And, you know, it's a shame to see FWE go the way it has, but I can't say it's inevitable, but with the situation of having to get a lot of talent in and having to get the tickets sold while trying to compete with other companies, it's really a tough act. You know, it's a fact in this business that we don't normally talk about. There's probably a lot of companies that go under like this. Admittedly, some of them go under because the promoters go off with the money. But yeah, that's all I have to say on that. So we'll get into results. So Dragon Gate have had a couple of shows actually since we've last on. So first up was the Gate of Victory from Monday. Only reason that was significant is we had Naruki Doi and Yamato retain their Twin Gate titles over the Jimmies of Jimmy Knees of JKS as he's now known. And Jimmy Susumu. So yeah, what we haven't kept track of is actually the Jimmy's team. That sort of was the last act of them, because obviously you had Jimmy Knees, you know, JKS, and then you've also got the Berserk team, which is sort of your new, new millennials sort of thing. This then sort of continued into the Currican Hall show. The only title change that happened here is, or no, sorry, not title change, title match, should I say, was the Triangle Gate match. And that saw Chima, Gamma and Dom Fuji retain over Shingo Takagi, Cyber Kong and Kotoka. So, yeah. We've got the Zerk, which is your new heel team and whatever. Naruki Doi. Introduced the Zerk and the concept of Berserk fighters to the Tokyo fans. And the most Berserk was Kotoka, which, you know, makes sense. Basically, they're just Berserk. That's the gimmick. So then, towards the end, we had Jimmy Knees, JKS, beating Mr. QQ Tanizaki Naoaki, Tanoaka Dolphin. And it was all about the Jimmies, and basically we had a seven-man Jimmy train. You know, they reconciled after all the problems that Dolphin seemed to be showing their last show. And then Tanizaki attacked Jimmy Kagetora from behind, giving him the implant. The Zerk then came out and joined the attack, and Tanizaki was introduced as the Berserk Fighter. He is now Naoki Tanizaki of the Zerk. The QQ Tononaka Dolphin gimmick is officially dead. I actually sort of was crying on the inside when I read that. Oh, I was just, you know, stripped of his Jimmy's colours, donned the Berserk colours, and demanded the champions come out for the main event. And then towards the end, in an interesting little twist, I think this actually happened on the previous show, Punch Tominaga took out, you know, his former teammate and became became part of the new team. You know, the Jimmies is officially no more. Instead, They're going to be wearing sumo costumes, so they're going to be called the Sumos. So this builds into what was announced for the shows in November at Currican Hall on the 6th of November. It's going to be Berserk versus the Sumos in an all-out war. It's going to be a three-match situation. There will be a tag team match, an eight-man tag, and a singles match. So the Sumos are going to be Sumo Fuji, Ryo Sumo Saito, Sumo Kanda, Sumo Susumu, Genki Horiguchi S-U-M-O. I think that's how you pronounce it. Because then it was H-A Jimmy. Sumo Nice, SKS as he is now. And Sumo Hagatora, the former Punch Tominaga. And then Berserk is Yamato, Yuruki Doi, Shingo Takagi, Naoki Tanizaki, Cyber Kong, Monday Ryu, and Kotoka. So it's all going down in Dragon Gate at the minute in Japan. Next on the results, we've got Emerge Wrestling. They had their next show, Emerge 9 Sacrifice, this past weekend in Seymour, Indiana. Once again, thanks to Dave Dynasty for supplying the info on the results for this card. So, it opened with Apollo Star beating conniving Kenneth James. So, the Poison victorious there. Bobby Black beat the Pretty Young Thing, Austin Tyler Morris. Then the Midwest Monster, Jacob Johns and Team Bad, which is not Beautiful and Dangerous. But they are Yukon Mike and Chris Morris. Accompanied by the Queen of Mean, that is Nikki. Victorious over Ricky Ruckus and the 8-Bit Punks, Varen Anarchy and Damien Cole. The Cure, Cole Radrick, got the win over Diamond Cut Ace Perry. Chris Caliber with Karma beats Warfare Jeremy Hadley with Christopher Icon by Countout in an Outbreak Championship match. So obviously with Countout, no title change happened. The Mastodon, JD Mariani, with the Queen of Mean, Nikki, beats the Man Without Fear, Carl Maverick. And then Donny Idol retained the Emerge title, the main attraction, beating the Picture Perfect, Jordan Cage, to retain. Next up, we've got Warriors of Wrestling, their WOW versus the World show. I can't remember if that was, I think it was PS1, wasn't it? Can't remember. So the pre-show had a couple of matches. We had a student showcase. Well, both of them were student showcase matches. With first one being Catered, Charlie Levy, and Atticus Bolt beating Natalie Monet, Vinny Pacifico, and El Jaco Jackson. And TK Luther beat El Jaco Jackson, so he wrestled twice. The El Jaco was being... He lost both times. I don't know what's going on there. So, onto the main card. We started off with Juba beating Mike Law. Jason Karloff victorious over Chris Steeler. Logan Black getting the win over TJ Marconi. The world's greatest tag team of Haas and Benjamin beat EYFBO. Then your title matches. The Hostile Collective of Neff and Nazir retained over the Perfect Strangers of Mark and Andros. Bonesaw Jesse Brooks retained the No Limits title, beating Joey A. Smiley, Darius Carter, and J. George. And then your heavyweight title match, another title retained as Rude Boy Riley defeated Anthony Gangon. So there you go. Right, next we have a look. Tier 1 Wrestling, their second show, Rumble in the Concrete Jungle. So the pre-show, we had Paco and Kurt Stallion, apparently two of the top students of Michael Elgin's training systems, opening basically, as it says here in the notes, provided by Tier 1 Wrestling themselves, eager to prove themselves to their trainer or maybe to the excitable fans. They went all out and pulled subtle tricks out of their hats that went way beyond their years of experience. And it was Kurt Stallion that got win over Paco. Then they had the six-way elimination fray, which Sonny Kiss won, beating Eric Draven, Mike Orlando, Bobby C. De Niro, Mike Werner and Mr. Touchdown Mark Angel. Apparently afterwards, Logan Black and Connor Claxton, who had reportedly gotten a hold of tickets to the show, emerged from the crowd and attempted to hijack the event. Michael Orlando fought back the best he could, but talent and officials were quickly sent to remove the disgruntled duo and were literally carried out the venue and tossed outside, which were immediately locked. The door, you know, tossed outside the doors, which were immediately locked, and spent a few minutes trying to bang them down, but security barricaded it and kept them stranded in the storm that was happening outside. Crisis averted, at least for the time being. Then we had the Bravados beat Style and Finesse. Then the Federated team of VSK and Ace Romero and Mr. Martinezzi beat Caveman and Kyle the Beast. Leo Rush victorious over the Lariat DJ Hyde via DQ after Hyde hit the referee. And then amazingly, Hyde afterwards, Hyde DJ shook Leo Rush's hand. I guess respect has been earned. Then Savannah Evans beat Vanity. Then in your number one contenders match, it was Ruboy Riley beating Joey Ace. Then, meaning, basically then it was intermission. And then at the tail end, apparently a table was set up in the middle of the ring. And the tier one people came out. And it was time to introduce and officially sign the newest acquisition, who's been hyped as the hottest unsigned talent in the Northeast. And the man that came and appeared was wrestling's richest prize, Darius Carter, forcing Brian Beckwith, the ring announcer, to hold the ropes open for him and scoffing at the Tier 1 wrestling management rep. At his extended hand, he wasted no time in addressing the negative reception that the fans gave him. Quickly began to degrade and demoralize every member of the audience who didn't welcome him as he felt deserved to be welcome. He went on to say that without even realizing it, the fans all paid to see him and that he's every bit as good as everybody in the locker room. And yeah, the crowd hated him. And Carter loved that the crowd hated him. Yes! Then Granakuma beat Caleb Conley. Pretty big victory there. Akuma got the microphone after the match and said, you know, he's had a long career. He's been testing himself in the ring and just he knows just how good Caleb is and expressed his desire to have another go against him. But this time he wants to go for the FIP world title that Caleb Conley currently has. So I don't know if that will be happening at the FIP show's happening in a few weeks, or whether it will be part of a Tier 1 event, I'm not sure. Then the intergender tag. It was Alex Mason and Bonesaw Jesse Brooks beating Jay George and Ashley America. Jesse able to drop Ashley America on her head enough times to secure the victory, so at the next show, she'll be getting a one-on-one match with J. George. And then after the match, Miss New York, Anna Teresa Trepiedi, who George had berated before the bell, came into the ring and slapped him good and proper. And yeah, J. George not in a good way. And then your main event of the Tier 1 title, Luke Hawks did retain over Tim Donst. Apparently, though, Hawks demanded that the referee leave the ring because he was the center of the controversy surrounding his victory at the opening show in New Hope. Yeah, Hawks did win. Afterwards, Ruboy Riley made his way out to the ring and encouraged fans to stay seated. And then laid out a challenge for the title for right then and there, pointing out that both he and Luke Hawks had gone through wars that night. But before Hawks could say anything, Riley was jumped by the Bravado brothers. They subdued him with repeated blows to the stomach and face, rendering Riley helpless. Hawk simply finished him off with a final blow and added insult to injury, laying the Confederate flag on top of Rude Boy Riley's lifeless body. The Bravado raised Hawk's hands and hoisted them onto their shoulders to close the show. This is the problem. Tier 1 is doing controversy to try and get traction. And, you know, it happened with the debut show, and it's clearly happened here because of the Confederate thing. If your wrestling and promotion is good enough, Tier 1, you don't have to do that. Just a, you know, constructive criticism from here. No doubt it was a good show from all the reports that I've heard, you know, people really enjoyed it. But I don't think there is the need to just be controversial for controversy's sake. I can get the right word. I don't think that's the approach that you sort of really need to do. Just saying. You know, maybe you'll take it on board. You probably won't. But we'll see what happens with the next show. Next up, CWF Mid-Atlantic's 15th annual CWF Rumble. So on the card here, Eric Royal beat Lee Valiant. The aftermath of Trevor Lee and Chet Sterling beat worst case scenario of Elijah Evans IV and Ethan Case to retain the tag belts. Following it, Coach Gemini came out and challenged the aftermath to defend the belts against the all-stars of Royal Wilkins and Chappie. Kazi then hit the ring attacking the champs, but took his mask off. And it's the returning Walter Eaton. Coach says to keep the belts warm, and the next challenge will be from the all-stars of Roy Wilkins and Walter Eaton instead. Oh, stuff happening there. So then Brad Stutz apparently gets predictions from the fans, the analysts, and former CWF superstar Handsome Mick Connor. Connor says he wants an honourable winner. Q Eric Andrews coming out, detailing the health concerns of Connor, including multiple strokes, and notes that Connor's unhittable by CWF guidelines. Eric says he doesn't care and hits him. The assault then continues, and Adams sets up for the knee trembler, but his former tag partner in the Killbillies, Evan Banks, comes out for the save. I think that's building up till later on in the night. Then the Army of One, Marcellus King, beat Lance Lude to retain the title. And then the new Rumble, the winner, returning from a career-threatening injury, was Smith Garrett, eliminating John Skyler, the PWX World Champion. That means, of course, that Garrett has got a chance to cash in for a title shot of his choosing during the next 360-something days, as it is now, because obviously it's 365 as of when it happened last Saturday. So some of the notes here. Even Alexander Sharp entered in at number 4, but handcuffed himself to the ropes, vowing to be in the final two alongside his hired gun of Prakash Sabar. Sharp did manage to last a while, but apparently Samoa Joey brought out bolt cutters, and Sharp was eliminated seconds after officially entering the match. Eric Andrews ran into more trouble with former partners as he was attacked by Evan Banks and eliminated by his former Revolt partner, Nick Richards. And then number 30 was Rick Converse returning, interestingly clutching the match of Prakash Sabar. So I don't know what was going on there. Clearly something. So next up, Destiny World Wrestling with their No Limit show from Ontario. Show opened with Scotty O'Shea beating Phil Atlas. Then Marco Estrada, victorious over Aaron Draven. Randy Rain beat Marcus Burke. The Tabernacle team of Matthew St. Jack and Thomas Dubois defeated the Jersey Boys. Then, first intermission of the night came. And then during the second part of the show, Stone Rockwell beat Jimmy Nuts and Jennifer Blake got the win over Zandra Bale. Then there was another intermission to head into the main event. And we have a new Destiny Heavyweight Champion. And his name is Rey Mysterio Jr. beating defending champ PJ Black and Ricochet in the triple threat to become the new champ. So there you go. That does mean that Ricochet... I think they have said that Ricochet is coming back for the next show from what I remember. Looking at notes, obviously I'm guessing Mysterio will be as well. Because, you know, he's champion. I think it's some point in December. So as long as it doesn't clash with tapings for a certain, you know, Lucha Underground thing, I think it'll be okay. Just about. So next, Revolution Pro. And the New Japan shows, the couple that happened in the UK this past week. So starting off last Friday for Uprising. And, Uprising and Revolution. Well, yeah, Uprising was the name of the show. The Revolutionists defeated Tenkoji. Martin Kirby beat ACH. Shinsuke Nakamura got the win over Big Damo. Tanahashi and Liger beat Okada and Gedo. Kyle O'Reilly victorious over Kushida. So, sort of revenge for the Best of the Super Juniors final. Tetsuya Naito victorious over Mark Haskins. And then Josh Bodum retained the Cruiserweight title by beating Jimmy Havoc in a no DQ match. And then in the freeway for the Revolution Pro Heavyweight title, AJ Styles retained over Will Ospreay and Marty Scurll. The following night was Global Wars in Reading. The opening match was the Triple Threat Freeway. It was a triple threat. With Tetsuya Naito defeating Kushida and Martin Kirby. Naito pinned Kushida for the finish there. Lord Gideon Grey beat Gedo via submission. Tenkoji beat the Thrillers of Joel Redman and Mark Haskins. Shinsuke Nakamura got a victory over Marty Scurll. The Bullet Club beat the Revolutionists via DQ. Kazuchika Okada got the win over Will Ospreay after the Rainmaker. Hiroshi Tanahashi beat Big Damo. And in the main event, AJ retained the Rev Pro title, beating Jushin Thunder Liger following a Styles clash. There you go. Next, AAA and the Heroes Immortales show. So it opened with Taya retaining her women's the Reina de Reinas title, beating Goya Kong, Lee Hedra, and the two mystery talents were Lady Shani, who apparently debuted on the last tapings that AAA did, and Lady Maravilla. Then we had the AAA tag belts on the line. We had new champs. Angelico and Jack Evans beating Joe Leader and Pentagon Jr. defending champs. And Daga and Steve Payne. As written in the notes here from the Cubs fans, guys. The two Perros del Mal's teams fought like they were never allies. For some reason, Mr. C's came to the ring during the match, attacking everyone and costing Pentagon Jr. the win after a package pile driver. So, a bit weird. So, yeah, Lita and Pentagon end their reign with zero defenses, but signal that they did want a rematch, which, you know, makes sense. Then we had Brian Cage and El Macias beating Drago and Phoenix. Afterwards, El Macias took Phoenix's mask, so crazy stuff happening there. Then we had the Copa Antonio Pena, which obviously started with a moment of applause for the memory of Antonio. And then, so we had the eliminators, and the people who got eliminated in no particular order were Cibernético, Blue Demon Jr., Averno, El Heo de Pirata Morgan, Electroshock, Aerostar, Chessman, and Nino Hamburguesa. The last two was La Paca and the debuting Taurus, who basically is sort of like El Torito meets Mantar, I guess. Or like a non-midget-sized El Torito. And in somewhat of an upset, the debuting talent Taurus beat La Paca and won the trophy. So, yeah, real surprise there. So then we had another debut. Alongside Rey Mysterio Jr. and Psycho Clown, it was Garza Jr. Who is going to go under the name El Heo de Ninja. Doing Hector Garza spots, basically. They lost to El Heo de Fantasma, Mr. C's and Texano Jr. Mr. C's getting the win for his team. But you have to say team in inverted commas, because Mr. C's apparently had problems with his partners, which will become a thing in a minute. Because the main event then happened. Alberto El Patron versus Johnny Mundo. Basically, Johnny was caught using a guitar as a weapon by El Hero de Tirantes. Mundo had earlier slapped Tirantes for not counting fast enough, so the DQ was called. Cage, Brian Cage showed up and Mundo attacked Alberto. Psycho Clown, then, Cage was Mundo's second and Psycho Clown was Alberto's second. So Cage and Mundo attacked Alberto and Psycho Clown. Raven made the save. Then Mr. C showed up. Then La Sociedad came out to support Mr. C's. To attack the Technicos. And Mr. C's as well, though. They smashed a guitar over his head for betraying them earlier. Because I think he pretty much said that he respected La Sociedad, but he wanted to be his own man. So therefore, he is an enemy, but also a threat. I don't know. But yeah, Mr. C's got basically murdered. They didn't save Mr. C's, interestingly. Alberto and Ray, they just they got rid of the Perudos, and Mr. C's is like, we don't know. That will be airing on the Mexican television over the next couple of weeks on the 17th and the 24th of October. So you'll be able to catch that. I believe the last set of shows, like the I don't think it's the Triple Mania. The Triple Mania shows are starting to be aired on television now, and I believe they are just putting them up on their YouTube page. You can watch them from there if you are not in Mexico, I think. So next we got to Shine 30, and I think this is the last thing I'll do before we round off this part, because there's still quite a lot to go through. So Shine 30, I did manage to catch myself, and overall I have to say this was a good strong car from top to bottom. Even the Sparkle Showcase match with two talents making their debut, Aspen Rose and Uriah Blake. They had a pretty good, nothing exceptional, but the fact that, you've got a couple of talents on this sort of on this level of stage showcasing their stuff. They did a pretty acceptable job with Uriah Blake rolling for a Koji clutch for the win. Then we had the Fatal 4-Way with Kellyanne, Liberty, who apparently was heel. Then again, she was just being like, England, 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 which is like, okay, weird, but whatever. Then again, I haven't caught a Bellatrix show in quite a number of months, so she might have turned heel. I don't know. Jamie Jameson and Shazza McKenzie in this match. It was Shazza McKenzie, though, getting the win, I think, from what I remember, pinning Liberty. Obviously, Jamie Jameson was with SoCal Val and Andrea. So, afterwards, Val Curry, as it's now being called. I can't be bothered to leave the pause in because that's just stupid. Don't know why they thought that would be a wise move to just go Val. Dramatic pause. Curry. It's like, no. Just give it a normal name like Valkyrie. Just not stress the Val bit because it's like, bleh. That's why, you know, the whole concept of merging the teams is like, that doesn't make sense, but also does, but more doesn't than does. So yeah, Valkyrie lays out everybody. So then Luscious Latasha comes out and challenges Andrea to a match, which is a bit stupid. But yeah, this was basically practically a squash match. Luscious Latasha was pretty much dead. But Andrea managed to accidentally hit the referee with a running boot. So the referee calls the DQ. And Luscious Latasha wins. She gets beaten again by Andrea. But then, you know, after she's sort of come to, she's realized, yes, I won again. It's like, wow, that's actually sort of awesome. Next, we had Thunder Kitty versus Ivelisse. Really good, you know, really good match here. Ivelisse winning, Thunder Kitty having to tap out to a wrist lock. So then we had the Kimberly Taylor Made match. Lexi Fife then comes out to the ring to announce that due to the fact that Cherry Bomb is injured, the Kimber Bombs are being forced to relinquish the tag belts. And Lexi then announces that at the next show, Shine 31, on December the 11th, there will be a tag team tournament to crown the new champions. And after what happened, Lexi guarantees to Kimber that when Cherry Bomb's fit and ready to come back, the Kimber Bombs will be getting a shot at the titles. You know, they basically have the sort of money in the bank, number one contendership slot permanently. As long as Cherry's fit and ready to go wrestling again. So then the match happened. Kimberly beating Taylor Made with a roll-up. So you'll note here that so far it's been 3 matches for Valkyrie and 3 losses. Just keep that in mind. So then we had Leia Von Dutch beating Malaya Hasaka. Basically, Thunder Kitty accidentally hit Hasaka with a chair while the referee was distracted. But it was a shame the way it happened, because it was swung in such a way that it was like, it sort of looked like she did it on purpose, but clearly not. So I don't know. The timing just wasn't really up to scratch on it. It's just a shame. So next, we had Team Bellatrix come out, which was Rhea O'Reilly and Sami Baines. So Soraya Knight with them. She grabbed the mic and she told everybody, right, and you know, this is a quote, so it's not coming from me. Shut the fuck up. You know, I've been invited here to take out Allison Kay, and because of that, I've got access to the free bar. So screw this, I'm getting pissed. And she goes off to the bar. And it's like, wow. This is my kind of woman. I like it. So then we have the Lucha Sisters of Mia Yim and Leva Bates come out. Mia Yim has got a very sort of katana from Mortal Kombat look about her attire with like the weird sort of smile mask thing. Leva Bates... basically, it was Lever and a gimp mask. Somewhat. The hashtag that I came up with when I was covering it live was hashtag 50 Shades of Lever. Lever seemed to like it because she retweeted and favorited it. But I don't know what happened there, but either way, Sammy got hit with a super kick by Leva and then a package pole driver from Mia Yim. The Lucha Sisters then did a belt motion, so I'm guessing December 11th could be interesting. I mean, how, you know, if Leva Bates is going bondage, I dread to think what's going to be coming in the whip room or whatever is in 50 Shades of Grey. Still haven't seen that. It's probably for the best. Next, we had Madison Eagles beating Sue Young with a fisherman's driver. This was a, you know, really good match as well. Sue Young was despite the fact she's looking really weird and I don't know what the hell is going on with this gimmick. I don't know what the situation is going on with this. But basically it was getting to the point where Sue Young was probably about to win, but then she kept staring at Saraya and was like frightened by her, and that allowed Madison to hit the fisherman's driver, and Sue was absolutely pissed at Saraya for some reason. So I have no clue what's happening there. So again, if you keep in count, 4 Valkyrie people, 4 losses. Next we had Jessica Havoc beating Kaylee Ray with a choke slam. You know, these two put on a really good match. You know, this is the match that you could have had in Impact Wrestling had things gone right. And, you know, it would have been good there. But now with the whole gimmick that they've got on now, thank God it's happening in Shine. I'll just say that. Next, you had your Shine Championship match. Santana retaining over Evie with a handspring moonsault. You know, good match, really good match here as well. You know, really... You know, every match on this card was good. And it did the way a card should build. And then your matches towards the end, pretty much from the Lucha Sisters versus Bellatrix card, or basically your second half equivalent of the show, was really top. Well, it really getting good. And then towards the end, you had some really great matches, ending with your Anything Goes match. So Saraya Knight comes out. Clearly she's left the bar or whatever. And she's literally standing in front of the entrance. So as soon as Allison comes out, she attacks her. And that does what does happen. This Anything Goes match happens everywhere in the building. It doesn't go up on the balcony, admittedly, but it goes to the bar, it goes round everywhere in the crowd. It never goes in the ring. But, you know, we had rope, we had beer cans, we had chairs, we had a lot of crazy stuff. We had some pretty... I don't think it was actually a blading job, because the blood looked a bit too sort of like it was a stage show thing. But the way that Saraya Knight got busted open... Whether she did or not, I'm not sure. But the way it happened was like, ow. That's going to sting in the morning if it's real. It's really, really painful. But the match that her and Allison Kay had was really top notch. And, you know, I have to give plaudits to both of them. They had a really tough job, obviously, being the main event. when you'd have thought the championship match would have been main event, but sort of it made sense because the stuff. I mean, the finish came with Allison hitting Saraya with an Orton-style DDT, you know, like how he does when he rests them on the ring ropes. Except for this one, Saraya was resting on the bar. Her feet were resting on the actual bar of the venue, as in the alcohol bar. You know, not any other sort of bar or anything. And it wasn't just onto the floor, though. It was onto a folded-out steel chair, which just sort of collapsed when it got hit. And it was like, ow, ow, and wow. And, you know, Allison Kay was all about pinkies up afterwards. And got in the ring and was asked a question about, you know, how she's all on alone and nobody was there to help her. And so she attacked the interviewer. It's like, well, you had that coming, mate. Let's be honest. And then Saraya, I guess, recovered from what happened and she helped, Rob Naylor, I think it is, helped Rob up, kicked him in the balls, and beat the crap out of him as well, and she left. That's when the feed got cut, and, yes. Really good show. If you can catch the archive on WWN Live, I would recommend it. Really good show. You sort of expected it to be, because obviously you've got a lot of people around who aren't normally for the Shine shows, because it's female fight season. You obviously, you know, got Shimmer coming up this weekend, which we'll get to in the second part of this week's show. So yeah, Shine was really good, but that wasn't the only women's wrestling that week. So when we come back, the return of Girls Night Out for AIW, and Fresh Meat from Saturday evening as well. We'll cover that. And then previews for all the stuff coming up this week. So just giving you a quick list now of what we're covering. We've got New Japan. We've got Excellence Pro. We've got AAW. We've got a couple of Chikara shows. We've got the CZW iPay-per-view. And of course, the Shimmer Weekend. Not a lot I can tell you about the Shimmer Weekend. But to be honest, there also is, because, you know, there's potentially some big stuff that could be happening. Knowing Shimmer, there'll probably be surprises as well. So, all that will be coming up in the final part of this week's Whole Indie Show after this music and this break.
A little bit of disregard, handful of complaints, but I can't help the fact that everyone can see these scars. I am what I want you to want, what I want you to feel, but it's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So let go, I'm watching you, turn your back like you always do, face away and pretend that I'm not, but I'll be here because you're all...
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W., and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SMS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun. Are you a fan of the SNS Radio Network? Want to keep up with what's going on with all the personalities and radio shows on the SNS Network? Well, let me tell you how. You can check out the Facebook group over at www.facebook.com/groups/SNS Radio Network. On Twitter, follow us at SNS Radio Network. You can follow me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, at SNS_JJSexA1. These are just a few ways to keep up with all the happenings going on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey there, listeners of the SNS Radio Network, my wife here. Now, as most of you listeners know, I happen to promote my own albums every now and again, and the latest one is now available. Yes, Dream Sphere. The musical journey that takes you through the realm of fantasy is now available at mindwipestudios.info. 14 tracks plus a couple of bonus tracks, all available for the neat little price of $10 US. $10 US or A. So check it out today. It's got some great tracks, including Witchwood, Dreamsphere, Flights of Dragons, and many, many more. Dreamsphere, available at mindwipestudios.info.
If you trained, say your prayers, and ate your vitamins, then you'll love The Hulkamania Chronicles. Sean Beckerman, host of Beyond the Bell, your pro wrestling nostalgia podcast, breaks down the history and career of the legendary Hall of Famer, the immortal Hulk Hogan. Each edition covers a different era in the history of the Hulkster as we relive our childhood hero. From the beginning of Hulkamania in the mid-80s and the birth of WrestleMania, through the challenging times of the steroid trial, all the way to his jump to WCW and the formation of Hollywood Hogan and the New World Order, and then his return to the WWF leading in to the Hall of Fame. This edition covers it all. You can catch the Hulkamania Chronicles exclusively on Beyond the Bell here on the SNS Radio Network, brother.
Second part of the show. If you didn't, I don't know how you're listening to this. Either way. So, we're going to continue on with the results with the AIW shows from this past weekend. Or from last weekend, I should say. So, starting off with Saturday afternoon's Girls Night Out 16. The show opened with Ray Lynn beating Britt Baker. Then Angel Dust got the win over Solar Darling. Then Vader Scott beat Annie Social with Heidi Lovelace. It's worth noting there was some interference by Tessa Blanchard on Social, clearly going into the match later on in the night. Leva Bates beat Chastity Taylor via submission. I don't know what cosplay she was in. Hashtag 50 Shades of Leva. Then Crazy Mary Dobson got the win over Lou Fisto. Alison Kay defeated Marty Bell. Candice LeRae victorious over Mia Yim, and then Heidi Lovelace beat Tessa Blanchard to retain the AIW Women's title. Then Vader Scott, Marty Bell, and Ray Lynn actually came out to attack Lovelace and Social until Allison Kay and Mia Yim made the save. And this led into an impromptu eight-woman tag. And it was, I guess, the heel team? I don't know. Vader Scott, Tessa Blanchard, Marty Bell and Ray Lynn beating Heidi Lovelace, Mia Yim, Allison Kay and Annie Social. I don't know who was the heels and who the faces, but that's a damn good impromptu surprise main event, I would say, with the talent that's in there. Later on in the evening, we had Fresh Meat, which was where some of the newcomers and some of the AEW Academies getting their chance to shine. So the show opened with Lewis Linden beating Skylar the Glitch Faden via submission. Then in the Hoss match, Big Mo was the winner of that one, beating Broderick Shaw, John Greed, John Silver, Jackson Stone, and Benjamin Boone, who came in to replace Steve Brown, who wasn't able to be part of the thing. Next, Gregory Iron came out, obviously current AIW Intense champion, and issued an open challenge, which was answered by the Space Monkey. Oh, the funky monkey that isn't Speedball Mike Bailey. Greg Iron did retain the belt, though. Johnny Gargano, in the next match, defeated Brian Carson via submission. Then Eric Ryan and Flip Kendrick, together victorious over Joshua Singh and Dr. Daniel C. Rockingham. Next, we had Eddie Kingston defeating Frankie Flynn, followed by Hot Sauce Entertainment beating Weird World in the tag match. Then in the no DQ match, Madman Pondo got the win over Kaplan. And then in your main event, Ricky Shane Page retained the AEW Absolute title, beating Alex Daniels. So there you go. That's the results are done, officially done. We're going to go straight into previews. And we'll start off with New Japan. And yeah, the King of Pro Wrestling is coming up this Monday. It's at 3 o'clock Eastern time, as in 3 o'clock in the morning. 8 UK, midnight Pacific. But the key thing to note about this is, for the first time since the Wrestle Kingdom stuff in conjunction with GFW, there will be an official English commentary on this feed, which has been revealed to be provided by Matt Stryker, who obviously was colour commentator on the last one. But this time, I guess because Jim Ross is a bit busy or something, Kevin Kelly of Ring of Honor is heading over to Japan, which, to be honest, makes sense because of obviously the idea of the Ring of Honor talent heading over there for shows in February. It seems to fit. Apparently, though, there had been talks about doing something similar to the GFW Wrestle Kingdom stuff back for the Invasion Attack show back in April or the Big Dominion show back in July, but nothing's happened. And it looks as if Jeff Jarrett or Global Force seems to have anything to do with the promotion at the minute, give or take. The only way you're going to be able to see it, even with the US feed, is via the New Japan World subscription service, which is around about $8 roughly, because it's 999 yen. Obviously, if you do sign up to it, you can catch the thing on demand. So you don't have to catch it live. You can catch, you know, if Monday Night Raw is that bad, you can watch it during that if you wanted to. So the card for this one, we have the 5-on-5. Young Boys versus Not Young Boys match, as Dave Finlay, Jay White, Juice Robinson, the former CJ Parker, Sho Tanaka and Yohei Kamatsu take on Jushin Thunder Liger, Kushida, Mascara Dorada, Ryosuke Taguchi and Tiger Mask. Then we've also got Tom Akihama taking on Yoshihashi. A four-way with Captain New Japan, Hiroki Goto, Katsuyori Shibata, and Kota Ibushi taking on the team of Hiroshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima, Satoshi Koji, along with Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi. Then we've also got a special, I'm guessing it must be Chaos versus Bullet Club match. And that is Kazushi Sakuraba, Shinsuke Nakamura and Toru Yano taking on the Bullet Club of Anderson, Gallows and Bad Luck Fale. The rest are all sort of title-related things. So, Red Dragon will be defending their IWGP Junior Tag Belts against Roppongi Vice. Kenny Omega defends his Junior Heavyweight title against Matt Sydal. Should be a very good match, that one, I'd say. Also on the good match front, well, the all your title matches are really top-notch, I will say. And your undercard doesn't look too bad as well. For the NEVER Openweight title, it'll be Tomohiro Ishii challenging the champion, Togi Makabe. Then Hiroshi Tanahashi defends his number one contendership spot for the Wrestle Kingdom show against Tetsuya Naito. I doubt there'll be a I don't think the right to go to Wrestle Kingdom has ever switched hands. So if it did, it would sort of be historic in itself. And then the main event, Kazuchika Okada defending the IWGP Heavyweight title against former champ AJ Styles. So a pretty strong card there, certainly. Next up, Excellence Pro Wrestling. Returning this Saturday with Check Please. General admission is $15, front row $20, and children under 12 get in free with a paid adult. The doors open at 6:30 with a bell time of 7. On the card, appearing is the Rock and Roll model Matt Sells. No confirmation, I believe, yet as to who he's facing, at least as of recording. But matches we do know, Oleg the Usurper will take on the Proletariat Boar of Moldova. That is for quite a lot. That's a lot. There's a lot of points there, certainly. Available. Cheeseburger taking on Danger Jameson. Too Many Cooks of Sloppy Joe and Smooth Black One face the Lucha Raptor. Jurassic World, here we come. And Argos. Rembrandt Lewis going one on one with Granakuma. We've got Deonna Purrazzo taking on Vanity. Then tag team action with Nick the Silent Assassin teaming up with Raviola Nix to take on One Night Only of Mark Quinn and Anthony Gangon. Dan Champion going one-on-one with Ken Broadway. I think they're sort of on the same side, and they've been, from what I've seen from the Facebook stuff on Excellence page, they sort of don't want it to happen, but they sort of have to because it's part of the thing. And then there is a four-man elimination match. The winner will keep all the pinfalls in the Race to 10 tournament. So it's Hallowicked, Smiley, Blind Rage and Havoc. Key thing to note there, Havoc, that is his debut show. So if he wins, let's say all three falls, it's going to be a bit weird, shall we say. That's the best thing that I can come up with. It'll be a bit weird. But you never know. Surprises could happen. You have to be there to see. Or if you can't, you know, I'll be here, probably, providing you with the info on what went down on that show next week. Next, AAW's Jawbreaker at the Bowen Eagles Club in Burwell, Illinois. The start of the big week for the Bowen Eagles Club. Because I believe, from what I can tell from the listings, Bowen Eagles Club is hosting Shimmer. I think they were going to some place. They were going to some other place, I believe. At least the original plans were for the show, but it looks like it's back at the Bowen Eagles Club. So I don't know what's happening there. But yeah, big weekend for Illinois. So there's some general admission, second row and front row tickets, all available from $15 to $30, which is the standard for AAW shows. Bell time of 7:45. So on the card here, set for action but not confirmed for matches are Gregory Iron, Christian Faith, Shane Hollister, Kongo Kong, and the Heritage Champion, Lewis Linden. Match-wise, what we have, OI4K will be taking on Ricochet and ACH. Wow. The fact that 24 hours later, OI4K are going to be in a pretty violent match is a bit ridiculous. But good. Heidi Lovelace teams up with Candice LeRae to take on Jessica Havoc and Tessa Blanchard. Mia Yim versus Allison Kay. Those two matches alone is like, yes. Silas Young goes one-on-one with Trevor Lee. Tyson Dukes and Eddie Kingston will battle to see who is the last man standing. The Hooligans will defend their tag belts against Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. And then the AEW heavyweight title match, a 2 out of 3 falls match between Ethan Page and Johnny Gargano. The guys who... I mean, this is a feud apparently is going through every single promotion that's probably available at the minute. Who knows? Next, Shikara have got events this weekend. Friday night, Colony Collapse comes pretty much off the back of the New York Comic Con because they're going to be at Stage 48 in Manhattan. And then Saturday, they're heading to Haverhill, Massachusetts for the Ocean Walker. Both shows at 7 p.m. Eastern. For Colony Collapse on the Friday, we have Argos versus Kevin Condren and Shenron versus Mr. Touchdown. And then your other five are Challenger of the Immortals matches. So we've got Dasha Hatfield and Icarus taking on the record crew of Blast McMassive and Flex Rumble Crunch. Knockin' goes one-on-one with Ron Francisco de Coronado. We've got Trios action with Princess Kimberly and Los Ice Creams facing Chuck Taylor, Drew Gulak, and the Swamp Monster. Soldier Ant and Pinky Sanchez face Worker Ant and Amasis. And then the Arcane Horde of the Pateria and Oleg the Usurper take on them Nightmare Warriors that are Hallow Wicked, Throatmare, and Blind Rage. The following night, Saturday, for the Ocean Walker. Again, we've got Shenron versus Mark Andrews, which is being labelled as the main event because it is your 2014 Rey de Valladares winner versus your 2015 winner. That is going to be a crazy high-flying affair. Definitely worth checking out the archive of that when it gets put up on Shikaratopia and shikarapro.com. You've also got Icarus taking on Juan Francisco de Coronado. Keep getting that wrong, JFC. Sorry. It's because I'm trying to read this out quickly. And then we've got a four-corner elimination tag team match. I don't know who's in that, but obviously the consideration is whoever wins that is obviously in prime contention to use 3 points to cash in against NRG. Of course, Knockin' and I think it's Pinky technically do have the opportunity to cash in on NRG, possibly this weekend, because I don't know if NRG are set for action, but we'll have to see. And then the other four matches announced are Challenger the Immortal Ones again. We've got Dasha Hatfield going one-on-one with Knockin', Mr. Touchdown taking on Drew Gulak. Tag team action, we've got Los Ice Creams versus O'Berian and Kodama. And Blaster Massive taking on Mr. Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan's sexiest man for so many years. Next, Tangled Web 8 from CZW. Yes, they return to iPay-Per-View. Again, as previously mentioned a week or so back, this was supposed to be originally pay-per-view, but plans were changed at the last minute, especially with a lot of other shows happening and, you know, not really giving the opportunity to get publicity out for the show actually happening. I don't know why I said it like that. I just did. A couple of matches for the pre-show. Leo Rush goes one-on-one with Aaron Williams. And then in six-man tag action, Frankie Picard and the Dub Boys will face Poseidon and a Mystery Partners. So I have to see who shows up to that. Matches confirmed for the iPay-Per-View start at 8. The bell time's at 7, by the way. I'm pretty sure there'll be tickets available on the door at the Flight Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. So on the card, we've got Masada taking on Rory Gulak. Chainsaw Joe Gacy goes one-on-one with AR Fox. Greg Excellent faces Dick Justice. Not sure whether the honorary junior heavyweight title is on the line for this, especially with what happened in the last show, so we'll have to see. Nico Sozio, one-on-one with Pepper Parks. Then you've got your, which is no respect to the other four, but the matches which have a lot going on them, I'd say, either because they're title stuff or they're big feuds. One being David Starr and JT Dunne. You know, that's a bit of feud that's been going across a lot of companies, and it's continuing on. CZW Wired title on the line. Tim Donst defending against Bad Boy Joey Janela. Never know what will happen there. Team Tremendous defend their tag belts against the Beaver Boys of Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Matt Tremont defends the world title against former champ Black G's. That is Black G's rematch, I believe. And then the Tangled Web match itself. The match that gave the game its name. Or however I'm supposed to talk about it. It's the Nation of Intoxication of Danny Havoc, Devon Moore, Lucky 13, and the Wrench, Connor Claxon, taking on OI4K of the Chris Brothers, Jake and Dave, Eric Ryan, and Alex Colon. So, yeah, could be some crazy stuff going down there. Check out the iPay-per-view if you can. I might be doing live coverage of it on Twitter, so keep an eye out keep an eye out on our Twitter feed. Hopefully there'll be info there. You know, I'll put a post up saying whether it is or not. You'll find out. And then finally, Shimmer. So it's happening at the Berwyn Eagles Club, as I previously mentioned, this Saturday and Sunday, October 10th and 11th. Doors open at 9:30 on Saturday for a 10 a.m. start. And for Sunday, doors open at 11:30 for a 12 midday start for the matches. So for the shows, with the usual schedule, you're going to have 76 and 77 on Saturday, and then 78 and 79 on the Sunday. Apparently, there also will be additional FanFest Q&A session on Saturday night. That might explain why they're starting a little bit earlier than they previously have done, because I think normally it's like a midday start. But yeah, look, there's no confirmation on that, so keep an eye on Shimmer's social media as to whether that's taking place, and if so, where. There is general admission seating available for both days. It's $30 for each full day of taping, which is basically $15 each per, you know, show of 76, 77, or 78 and 79. So, yeah. All tickets purchased online now will be held for you to claim at the door. Although, you know, you might be able to do it for the Sunday. It might be a bit touch and go for Saturday because it's really early start. If you do plan to attend, try and buy tickets in advance. Might be a bit of a problem. I apologize, but yeah. Once, you know, they basically encourage the purchase of tickets to guarantee admission, because they cannot sell additional tickets on the door. That's a bit of a shame. Because if that is then sold out, and, you know, if it isn't going to be full because not all the general admission seats have gone, I understand why they're doing it, because they obviously don't want to overdo it. But, you know, I guess it makes sense because it's the anniversary show. It's sort of similar to what PWG did with Bola. They had a final set of tickets reserved off and sold them out. So basically it was, if you didn't buy a ticket online, you can't get in, because they're not selling them on the door like they have previous shows, because it's one of the big ones. It's one of the sought-after ones. Shimmer always is, because it's only twice a year. especially more so now this time, though, because of the whole 10th anniversary thing. So you might be able to book tickets online, certainly for Sunday, at very last minute, and get them on the door. But I think Saturday it's a bit too touch and go, to be quite honest. So there you go. That's your lot. We'll be covering everything that happens in those shows next week. Quick look ahead to what's coming up next weekend. Just if you want to plan ahead yourself. We've got CZW heading up to IWS in Canada. Dragon Gate Japan is going to have something else. I think it's a Kurikan Hall show. I'm not sure. Game Change Wrestling. Evolve has got its couple of shows over, I think it's October 17th and 18th. PWX, Smash Wrestling, Lucha 2, Warriors of Wrestling, AIW, and technically, because it's the following Thursday, so after the episode goes up, I think it is. No, I've actually... Hang on, I'm trying to remember. No, it actually is Friday. I take it back. I can't do math, apparently. I can't remember when each day is, despite the fact I'm counting the days to Spectre. Either way. If that's the case, then, oh my god. That, I'm just looking, the amount of shows to cover for the following week is... worrying. That's all I'm saying. There's a lot of stuff happening in a fortnight. So be prepared everywhere. Speaking of next week, though, hoping to have an interview with Matt Ryan, talking about the next 2KW Pro show. Very, very odd video showing up on their YouTube page over the last few weeks. In case you're wondering, and I'll mention it here again, and I'll probably mention it next week as well. Their last show from earlier on in the year, I think it was Divided We Stand, that is available for free currently on their YouTube page. At least I think it's for free. I haven't checked since I looked at it back a few months back when it was posted up. So I'll probably get the right info when I ask Matt about it. And... yeah, so hopefully that'll be happening next week. So you're going to get a longer show. So make reserve some time or something. I don't know. Well, there. Making weird noises. You can tell that I'm filling. So check out all the other shows here on the network. Yeah, all the archives on the SNS Radio Network page. You've got your unplugs. You've got your Beyond the Bells. You've got your Sticks and Flicks, you've got your Elite Force podcasts, Unplug CT, just a whole load of things, you know. Because it's not all topical stuff, you've got some, you know, with Unplug CT, it's just conspiracy theories about a certain thing, or Beyond the Bell, it's, you know, looking back at the history of certain things. And the thing is, you can't change history unless you're the WWE and you delete people from the Hall of Fame. Yeah, oh, sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. Oh, dear. I'll never learn. Oh, wait, I already did. So, if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email in to wholeindy@snsradionetwork.com. That's wholeindy at snsradionetwork.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search The Whole Indie Show. You'll find it there. Check out the page on Twitter, which is at @TWIS_podcast. I'm trying to do pretty much, if there's an indie show that is live and I can do coverage for, because it, you know, I can't guarantee it for everyone because there's so many, I will try and cover it. I'll inform you on each show whether it's like, well, I can do that, do this. I can tell you, I did purchase the Shikara King of Trios pack earlier this week, So we will be talking King of Trios somewhere down the line. I'm thinking it might be a good build-up to Thanksgiving. You know, that'll be one to stuff yourselves to or something. That sounds wrong. Sorry, didn't think that through. I really didn't. Then again, you know, it's Black Friday, you know. Last time Black Friday happened, I was in the middle of a fight over a TV that nobody had because they were pushing and barging about nothing. The videos were up on social media. I don't know whether they still exist. If they do, I'm an idiot. You can find me on Twitter at AshIsMyNameUK. I'm not entirely as vocal as I should be on the Twitters, mainly because I'm complaining about things and things that are going wrong, and then hoping to get feedback from people that I'm asking things to, and if they don't, well, there you go. But you never know, I might eventually pluck up the courage to actually put something of meaning on there. I don't know. You can also find the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Feel free to leave us a review on there. And yes, there you go. That's all for this week. You might have noticed a theme throughout quite a lot of the music for this week's show. I say a lot of the music. There's only three tracks that I play. But it's all to do with the fact that, of course, we are in the middle of female fight season. So, because of that, it's only fair. Song of the Night, Space's Female of the Species. I think I've used the Austin Powers one before. And now, after listening to it, compared to the original, we're going to go with the original one. Because it sounds weirdly better. I don't know. Either way. That being said, this was Ashley, and that has been your weekly slice of indie goodness. We'll see you next week, everybody.
The beat. wrong.